Welcome to the Williams Meekin YB Herton phone conference line.
Cortisol, and so it's a chain reaction, so your whole endocrine system just kind of gets wacky. And so and that's what his whole practice is about, just giving people a little bit of cortisol along with their thyroid and the male and female hormones and getting on that yeast-free, sugar-free diet. It's just amazing.
Yeah. Looking forward to that link there.
Actually, next week I should probably mention there's a lady here in the Houston area who her family thought she had the early onset of Alzheimer's. That's how bad her memory had gotten.
Uh-huh.
And they had even enrolled her down at Herman Hospital with that early Alzheimer's study. And she somehow heard about Dr. Hosey's practice. And she is just, I mean, she made a big 180 turnaround. And she went on to become Mrs. Texas and then Mrs. USA.
This year or in the past?
That was in, I think, 2009 maybe.
Okay.
But I can pick out her story. I'll find her success story on its website. But everyone needs to hear that so that they can realize just because the thyroid affects the memory and when all of these things are not in balance.
Nancy, how do you spell his name again?
H-O-T-Z, as in zebra, E.
Uh-huh.
Looks like it should be pronounced Hosty, but it's Hosty.
Okay.
Good. Thank you. Yeah, that'd be nice to know about, Nancy. Ooh. Well, we're getting into five minutes after the hour here, so I'll go ahead and get started if you don't mind. But I'd like to first of all welcome everybody to the call on this Friday, whether you're on the WebEx or whether you're on the landline. I didn't get the slides loaded up this morning, and it looks like Ruth isn't here with us at this particular time to have to do that. So we'll just go ahead and realize that we're on this call, and our mission is to basically get the body and mind as healthy as we possibly can through different ideas, different suggestions, good nutritional types of items such as food, whole foods, and supplements, and that sort of stuff. So that's why we're here, and if you're here in the first time, we'd like to welcome each and every one of you to the call. And hope that you're willing to join us at a later time during the week from Monday through Fridays, where on Mondays we normally have Mary Lou. She's our host, and she goes through back to basics. And this particular Monday, we went through again the journal and the water, size, nutritionals, meals, and that sort of stuff, and why that's so important. She also talked about Bergastrol, which is one of our products that we deal with here at Meekin, and they're finding they're getting some good results from that and how it's so important in regards to blood pressure, cholesterol, and even helps control blood sugar. I'd like to make a comment right off the bat that, first of all, I am not making any medical claims. I'm not a medical doctor or have any medical knowledge within my body from education, just from a lot of research. So I don't try to make any medical claims. One of the other things she talked about, too, was that GMO, and we all understand now that, and it's in California, that's even on the ballot, that you're trying to stop food from being produced in California with GMO. So we want to no GMO in our foods, avoid it as much as possible, because it basically is messing with the genes of the plant that they put this in for the purpose of pesticides. And they're finding that sometimes when people ingest those type of foods, that if it affects the seeds the way that it does, that it probably is going to affect the body, and they have showed some good results that probably is happening. Everything we do is a choice, and she talked about that we need to make some good ones and how that is so important. Tuesday, Ruth came in and took over our Terrific Tuesday, where people share what their experiences have been of the program and the ups and the downs or the ins and the outs, and she also talked about body language and listening to how we need to listen to our own bodies. Don't ignore what the signs are, and those signs can be anything from a headache to fatigue to discomfort and pain and dehydration and poor circulation, skin conditions. We talked about that yesterday quite a bit. and fungal conditions. So it's very, very important that we listen to our body, understand what it's trying to say to us, and then do whatever it is we need to do, make the choice to do something. On Wednesday, Ruth, also, we talked about the Healthy Child, Healthy World presentation, and that how that people are getting excited about that, and that how that if we can take the knowledge that we have in the younger generation and we can inform and teach people how to better understand health and why it happens in our body, what certain things do, it really can make a difference. We talked about doing some making people aware of that particular type of a program that is available. And last night I wasn't able to be on the WebEx that Ruth and Mary Lou did, but they were going to do one on regards to Healthy Child, Healthy World, Making a Difference, One Home at a Time presentation, and I'm sure that went excellent. Sorry I wasn't able to be there, but I had a situation here on the farm where we had a bull get out, and when your bull gets out, you better do what it needs to do to get it taken. That's for sure. On Thursday, Nancy talked about, from Houston, she talked about, I think it was Dr. Cass Ingram. Am I right there, Ingram? Nancy? Nancy lives in Houston. She talked about nail fungus and oregano and how candida and things like that and the garlic. And I'll tell you, that was a very interesting call last night or yesterday morning. And if you need to go back, and I strongly suggest that people do go back and re-listen to that call. Matter of fact, it even extended over our normal time range, and I had to leave because I had an appointment I had to get to. Before I left, which was about a quarter to the hour, I guess it was, or a little before, there was some marvelous information that had to do with basically funguses and infections and those type of things, and how oregano oil can be used for many things, and especially better health. And, so it's something that talked about the cure in the kitchen. And sometimes we don't think of oregano as being a cure for a lot of situations, but from listening to Nancy yesterday, and I think she's going to follow up on that this coming Thursday again, possibly. And when you do look for oregano, you're looking for an item that's in called P73, and you're not looking from any oregano that was come out of Mexico. So that's real exciting, and thank you, Nancy, for that particular call because it was very informative, and thanks to each and every one of the people that hosted the calls during the week. It was very informative, and I get excited about coming to a call every morning that I feel is more of a support-type situation to where I can pick up some knowledge and some experience and utilizing what I choose to utilize for my body and remembering that each and every one of us are different. Our bodies are different, everything about us, and so it's amazing. We don't all look alike. I don't know what that'd be like if we did, but we just need to remember that the basic thing is we are individuals, and we need to take and do the things we feel we need to do for the particular problems that we have. Anybody have anything you want to say that I didn't cover? Go ahead, Nancy.
Well, I had myself muted, but yes, it is Dr. Cass Ingram, I-N-G-R-A-M, so...
And what's the name of the book?
Oh, he's got a number of them. Well, that one was The Cure is in the Cupboard. And then another one, The Cure is in the Forest. Mm-hmm. And after that, he's got the names are The Natural Healing Four, and he's listed a lot of them, different
good
things.
Okay.
You can find his books on Amazon.
Great. Anybody else have any comments or suggestions or what you heard that might have been the gold nugget for you last week? Okay, if not, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and talk a little bit today. Mary Lou has a way of kind of getting me excited about certain things, and she talked about vitamin D the other day on the call. One of the things that I feel and her comments were that a lot of us are deficient in vitamin D, and we kind of think sometimes that we can get out in the sun or whatever we're doing outside, and we're getting the right proper vitamin and D that we can. But unfortunately, for those of us that live up here in the Pacific Northwest, we don't get the proper sunlight and the angle of the sun from what this Dr. Holick talks about in regards to be beneficial. And they say that anybody that lives above, and this might help us out, Atlanta, Georgia, or Los Angeles, California, if you live above that particular or in line with that, that basically we still don't get enough of sun in our bodies to do the job that it needs to do. So I thought that was kind of interesting, and I know here in the Pacific Northwest and the upper portions of America and Canada is that they have a lot of MS, and they're finding, I guess they found that that has a lot to do with possibly sunlight. And Dr. Holick totally believes that sunlight within itself is very, very important to us. And if we don't have it, I guess it's kind of like you take a plant. If you have a plant and you put it in the dark all the time, or it doesn't get the proper light that it needs to get, it certainly doesn't grow in the way that it needs to grow. So I guess that's probably true with our bodies, and he definitely feels that sunlight is one of the main things that we can have for our body, and he calls it the cheapest vitamin he's ever heard of. And of course, we don't know, which we do know now, that vitamin D is more of a hormone than it is a vitamin, which he discussed, and Mary Lou talked about it. So I just like to, and I got his book, I'll be honest with you, and the book is called The Vitamin D Solution. It's a three-step strategy to cure our most common health problems. And I got it yesterday in the mail. I ordered it from Amazon, and it came in. But I'm reading through it. There's a lot of good information, and I was really going to wazzle and dazzle you with a lot of figures today. I don't think that's what I want to do. I think I want to get into, are we deficient? In other words, how do we know if we're deficient, basically, in determining through a self-test to determine your level of deficiencies? And what we need to understand is when the body aches for something it needs, it often, and by the way, I'm in Chapter 7 right now at this particular time, but it says, when the body aches for something it needs, it often has a way of telling us. When we're dehydrated, for instance, we get thirst signals from the brain. The same thing goes on for when we get our body needs fuel. We get hunger, sleep deprived. We get kind of drowsiness, and even faced with serious danger. And, of course, we always have the famous fight or flight street response. Amplifies how the body maintains its own brilliant survival systems for life. It's funny to think that with the exceptions of humans, animals that rely on the sun for energy, how animals that are out in the sun all the time, cattle, horses, dogs, cats, whatever, you know, any kind of animal that's out there, deer, whatever, that is one of the main things that helps basically those animals survive, and because they find that it's very, very, very important. They soak in the rays. They may not pass a driver's test or read health books, but at least they know what's good about for their survival needs. It's well documented, for example, that lizards who are vitamin D deficiency seek out UVB radiation just as they would water when thirsty. Humans, on the other hand, have the extraordinary capacity, thanks to our advanced human brains, that afford us the ability to critically analyze and judge to our heart's content, whether that judgment turns out to be right or wrong, to talk ourselves into and out of anything, including the way things that could be healthy or unhealthy. Sometimes, though, it pays to act like a lizard. And he totally believes that sunlight is very, very important. So what we're going to do right now, I'm going to kind of give you a quiz. It's a few questions here, so if you want to, you can either count it or get a pencil, a piece of paper, and make a check mark when I talk to this. And it's basically, how many of the following statements apply to you? And the first one is basically, I rarely go out in the sun. And if you stick around in the house a lot and whatever, that you need to, don't get out in the sunlight, then you need to make a check. The next question was, I wear sunblock and cover up my skin when I get out in the sun, especially during the summer months or when I'm outside in the middle of the day. The next question is, my covers most of my skin, including my arms and my legs. Another check mark if you are that. I live above 35 degrees latitude in the northern hemisphere. That's north of Atlanta and north of Los Angeles. Guess what? We can, all of us, I don't know where Mary Lou's, she lives in Phoenix, but I don't know if she's above Atlanta or Los Angeles, but if she is, she needs to make a check. I know us up here, we've already got one check already. I live below 35 degrees latitude in the southern hemisphere. That would be below Atlanta and Los Angeles. I do not take a multivitamin along with a vitamin D supplement every day. I do not take a separate vitamin D supplement every day. I do not eat wild or oily fish, salmon, mackerel, herring, sardines 2 or 3 days a week. Those are each individual questions, by the way. I do not eat a lot of mushrooms. That would be if you eat mushrooms, then. But if you eat mushrooms, then you would not check it. I drink fewer than 10 glasses of fortified milk or orange juice a day. I am naturally dark-skinned or am of African or Hispanic descent. That's another question. I am older than 60. Well, there's a check mark for me, that's for sure. I am younger than 20. There would be another check mark. I am overweight and carry a considerable amount of extra fat. Another question. Oh, boy, I'm telling you, I'm getting a lot of check marks here. When I press firmly on my sternum, which is the breastbone, with my thumb or forefinger, it hurts. When I press firmly on my sternum, the breastbone, with my thumb or forefinger, it hurts. When I press firmly on my shins, I feel pain. That would be another one. I feel like I have less energy and muscle strength than I should. There's another one. I take anti-seizure or AIDS medication. I take glucocorticoids. I think that would be something like prednisone as an example. That would be another one. I have celiac disease. I have intestinal disease. And I have had gastric bypass surgery. If you check any of the above boxes, then there's a high chance that you suffer from vitamin D deficiency. If you check several boxes, which I did, then I encourage you in the part, I think it goes on to talk about in part two of the book how he basically, how people can take care of that particular thing. He does believe that there are certain tests that we need to take, each and every one of us, and Mary Lou talked about it. That was the 25-hydroxy vitamin D test. And there's two different kinds of tests that you can have. One is active and one is the one that actually flows through the kidneys and the liver. And so what happens is, again, this is the circulating form of vitamin D that the liver generates and then becomes activated by the kidneys. Because that's what the 25-hydroxy. And I went and had mine done, and I came out with a 32.2 level, which basically says I'm right at that breaking point to determine whether I'm deficient or not. And at 30 nanograms or millimeters or whatever in the test, it says that you basically are sufficient, but you're at the lower level, which means that I should be actually be doing more. So that's what I did find out, and I was very glad that I took that test because, you know, I take my osteodance, I take my multivitamins, and I take my calcium here that through the bone health program that we have. And I guess kind of in my mind, I kind of think, you know, that, well, I really should be quite a bit, but they're finding out that because we are so far north that we just don't get the sunlight that our body requires, and a lot of times we don't want to get out in the sun. And when we get out in the sun, we do crazy things. We put a floppy hat over our head, and we wear sunglasses, which he recommends that you do. Try to avoid the floppy hat as much as possible. Of course, it all depends upon how long you stay out in the sun. You should never stay out in the sun long enough to get yourself burnt. And if you are going to stay out, then yes, after that period of 15 minutes to a half hour or 10 minutes or whatever, based upon where you live, that you should protect your body. But so that's very, very important. And so where should your vitamin D levels be? He says the unit of measure need for vitamin D is nanograms or per millimeter. And most experts, myself included, agree that vitamin D deficiency is defined by a 25 vitamin D or less than 20 nanograms per millimeter. The vitamin D insufficiency is between 21 and 29. And I'm just barely above that. And vitamin D sufficiency begins at 30 nanograms per millimeter. And he goes on to say that to obtain the full benefits of vitamin D for health, many experts recommend that blood levels be closer to 40 nanograms per millimeter, and the higher they are, the better. He says that the reason for this is that the higher levels have been associated with decreased risk of cancer, heart disease, autoimmune disease, and Mary Lou talked about that when she discussed the vitamin D. Vitamin D intoxication is typically not seen until blood levels are above 150 to 200 nanograms per millimeter. Leathery goes on to say that lifeguards, for example, are famous for total touting levels of 25 vitamin D in the 100 nanograms per millimeter range, and you don't hear them about falling victim to vitamin D toxicity. And the principle is because they're getting most of their vitamin D from the sun, and it's impossible to get too much from this source. Similarly, tanners who use tanning beds once a week typically maintain levels of 40 to 60 nanograms per millimeter range throughout the winter. If you rely on supplements for your vitamin D, it takes about a month to fall below 20 nanograms per millimeter if you regularly supplementation goes on hiatus. And I think that sometimes we feel that, you know, if we get out in the sun that we're getting the stuff that we need, but they're finding out that there's another way to look at it. And for every 100 IUs of vitamin D you would ingest through, say, a supplement, your blood level of 25 vitamin D increases 1 nanogram per millimeter. So basically what that says is this is why both children and adults need to be on at least 1,000 IUs of vitamin D a day when they have inadequate sun exposure to satisfy their body's vitamin D requirement. He goes on to say that I personally take about 2,700 IUs of vitamin D from supplements, and I get vitamin D I get from sensible sun exposure. And my blood levels, he says, are at 50 nanograms per millimeter throughout the year. And he does think the supplements and sunlight are the basically important things. So I think that was very important. Now, one of the things he goes on to talk about is how much to take and when. Well, he goes to say that, of course, the major issue with obtaining vitamin D from a pill is that you have to remember to take the pill. And he does say in earlier chapters that there's no way of getting enough of vitamin D by a dietary situation, because vitamin D is not in a lot of the foods and even in the whole foods that we eat. So that's why he believes in supplementing and why we do need it. Nowadays it's easy to find supplements. He goes on to say with 1,000 IU or even 2,000 IUs per tablet or capsule. And we know that this book was written in, 2010, I think. Yep, 2010. And we now know that you can go on different websites and find vitamin D's at the level of anywhere from 5,000 to 10,000 IU units a day. And he also goes on to say that it doesn't matter what vitamin D you take, whether it be, remember that it doesn't matter whether you take vitamin D2 or vitamin D3. It appears to be the most, but vitamin D appears to be the most available from now on the market. It says that vitamin D is basically only available as a pharmaceutical. So it depends upon, I guess, what your doctor feels and how you need to be supplemented in regards to it. But he even takes, and if your doctor tests you and determine that you are deficient, then you can certainly up the dosage to 5,000 to 6,000 IUs a day under your doctor's care, depending upon the level. He says, I treat... If people come in and they're very they need more and they're very low, then he treats his patients with 5,000 IUs of vitamin D once a week, which is equivalent of taking 6,000 IU of units a day. And one of the things he says here in the book, that it doesn't matter if you get, let's say, 50,000 units at one time or whether you take 6,000 units a day, that basically it comes out to basically the same thing. So if a person didn't like to take pills every day, he does suggest that you should probably take them with your vitamin and minerals when you take your supplements in the morning or whenever you take them. But that it doesn't matter how much you take. If you don't like taking pills, in other words, you could take 20,000 IUs at one time, and then when you basically bring that out over the 7 days, it doesn't matter how you ingest it into your body, but he does suggest that we need to do it basically with our supplements, because if people do something on a weekly basis, they sometimes forget, and that's why he suggests taking it on a daily basis. So I thought that was pretty interesting, and we're getting here close to the hour, but the other thing that a half hour, I should say, But the other thing I wanted to mention, and that is there are some general questions, and he has in the book, and I think that probably, I know I had them when Mary Lou was talking about vitamin D. But one of the questions is, what happens when you cook foods rich in vitamin D, like wild salmon? Do they lose their potency? And, of course, the vitamin D is a health relative stable in foods. Storage, processing, and cooking have little effect on the activity of vitamin D. It's stable when heated to a boiling temperature of 212 degrees. And he goes on to say, the next question is, if you fry fish in oil, does that remove the vitamin D? And the answer is yes. More than 50% of the vitamin D is lost when you fry fish in oil. You should do well to bake, broil, or grill the fish. And then the next question is, says, does vitamin D interact with any medications? And the answer is, vitamin D does not interact with any medications. However, some medications, such as anti-seizure drugs and AIDS medication and prednisone, will increase the destruction, will increase the destruction of 25 vitamin D, thus requiring patients to increase their vitamin D intake. He goes on to talk about how does genetics play a role in the ability to maintain our 25 vitamin D levels. He says that there is some evidence that genetics do play a role in the ability to maintain vitamin D status. However, my experience, if you ingest between 1,500 and 2,000 IUs of vitamin D a day, you are not obese, this often will satisfy your vitamin D requirements. And then that brings up another question, and it isn't here, but Mary Lou had talked about it, is how that for those of us that have some fat on our body and basically are maybe considered obese by the average weight factors and BMI and how they determine whether you're obese or not, and that we need to sometimes take two or three more IUs a day than, say, the average lean person that would actually take. One question was, and I thought about this, is can you receive vitamin D from sunlight through windows? And the second half of the question is, what impact does cloud cover have? Well, he goes on to say that sunlight coming through the window glass will not produce any vitamin D in the skin because the glass absorbs the vitamin D producing UVB radiation. Your skin must be exposed to direct sunlight in order to make vitamin D. Cloud cover, which we have a lot of here in the good old Northwest, cloud cover will decrease the amount of UVB radiation penetrating to the earth and can reduce vitamin D synthesized by as much as 50% to 75%. I thought that was actually amazing. And it goes on to say if there is an age in which vitamin D supplementation doesn't work. And the answer is absolutely not. Vitamin D supplementation is effective in children and adults of all ages. Aging does not affect the body's ability to absorb vitamin D, either from the diet or from supplements. At least 1,000 IUs of vitamin D a day is appropriate for all ages, from children 1 year old to geriatric patients. Newborns during the first year of their life should take at least 400 IUs a day, and up to 1,000 IUs is reasonable. And he totally believes that even babies should be taken, you know, not too long after they're born or whatever, should be taken at least 500 IUs of vitamin D, which can be purchased through a vitamin D liquid. And for those people that have problems swallowing pills, they can do the same thing. So that's pretty well much. There's a whole bunch of other questions here that I could read you, but we're getting into the half hour, and does anybody have any questions or suggestions in regards to what we discussed?
I think that testing is really important. When I got diagnosed with diabetes, as a fluke, I got a vitamin D test at the same time they tested other things, and my vitamin D was at 9, and I took for 1 month 4,000 units a day, and my vitamin D went up to 32, and I find that was at 4,000 a day, and when I drop back down, at any rate, I need to take a lot, and I've never heard of anybody having it as a 9, but it was remarkable to them.
Well, you know, one of the things I'm finding out of vitamin D is basically 80% of the people in the United States, and those were some of the figures I was going to talk about, but 80% of the people in the United States basically are deficient of vitamin D. and they don't even know it. And they're finding the vitamin D works so well for even like flu and things, influenza and things like that, and the brain, how the brain, actually the brain has vitamin D receptors in it. And one of the things they're finding by people that have dementia situations or whatever is that if they just increase their vitamin D levels, that basically they're finding amazing results in regards to those type of situations. So, and you know, our body needs it. We just need vitamin D. Unfortunately, we don't get enough of it. And so that's it. Anybody else have any suggestions or comments you'd like to make or have a question?
Well, I have to back Joan up on that. Thanks, Marty, for going more into depth on this, because this is Mary Lou. When we, I think I mentioned that when we moved to Arizona, I had been put on vitamin D for, you know, a long time when I lived up in Washington. When we moved to Arizona and when I ran out, I just decided, man, I'm getting plenty of sun, and so I didn't need it. And when I had my physical, the doctor's office called. I didn't know they were checking my vitamin D with the 25-hydroxy, but he called, and the doctor's office called and said that I was dangerously low. I don't know what that number was, but I got on back on my 10,000 a day, and the last time I had it checked, it was 65.5. Doctor told me to just stay right where I am. So that's where, you know, when I read that article about obesity, and I tried to explain, you know, to you guys, I had heard that if we're carrying extra weight, our body, the vitamin D gets in those fat cells and they get locked. It gets locked in there, I think is the way he described it. But anyway, I probably will be on vitamin D for the rest of my life unless I get to be a very thin, tiny person because I've always struggled with the vitamin D levels. So 10,000 seems to be for me.
Yeah,
pardon me?
He even goes on to say that it doesn't matter really, but based on most of us that live in the United States should be taking a minimum of 1,000 to 2,000 units a day, period. Particularly during the summer, when we lose sunshine or whatever. And most of it, in most times, don't really get the proper sunlight. I mean, he even got a chart here that even shows basically how much time you should spend based upon where you live and so forth. And just a lot of information in this book, and I might be utilize some more stuff about vitamin D. But what I was really excited about and just really understood is that when he talked about people that are pregnant or have just had childbirth and how important it is for the development of the child, and if we can give, and we know it goes back to the healthy child, healthy world situation. You know, if we can get our children more adapted to understanding vitamins and minerals, and if they can't, then we need to step in. When they're born, they don't make decisions. We have to make them for them. But he really feels that, you know, for newborns and things like that, and children, don't matter, teenagers or whatever, is that, you know, everybody should be on a vitamin D type supplement. So, and I believe I understand that, because I know, you know, when I'm out in the sun, I feel so much better. You know, I just, even when I come into the house, I feel better that I've been out in the sun. But most of us in our lives today, because we're busy and whatever, we really don't spend a lot of time out in the sun, usually in most cases, unless we have a garden or do things like that. I enjoy getting out and mowing the yard and my writing a lot more.
Chasing your cows.
Yeah, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. But it's just so nice. The sunlight is very, you know, it's just like, you know, we talk about ions, negative ions, and how important they are when you're down at the ocean beach, and how, or you're in the forest, or you're by a waterfall, you know, how much better we just kind of feel, because everything just kind of works. And our bodies require those kind of things. So that's about all. Anybody else have any comments or suggestions? So if you made a check mark on any of those, you possibly need to get yourself tested for vitamin D. And there are two different tests. The one that you want is the 25D hydroxy vitamin test is the one you want to take, because sometimes people can take the other test that the doctors normally prescribe, which is just a vitamin D test, and that they can be, they can show levels that they're okay with vitamin D, but the, when they take the 25-hydroxy, they find out that it, their levels are basically lower than what the doctor in turn reported to them. So that's why I had my 25-hydroxy tested, and know that I have to, I personally have to supplement a lot more than probably most of you on the call, but I'm excited about that because of all the things I'm reading that he talks about in this book in regards to diseases and things like that. They're very, very important. One of them has to do basically with joint pain and fibromyalgia and osteoporosis and osteopenia and all those kind of things that can cause a lot of discomfort in our bodies, that there's certainly ways of alleviating a lot of that situation. So if that's it, I'm going to wrap the call on a Friday. Mary Lou will be with us here on Monday, so you all go out and have a good rest of the day and have a wonderful weekend. Take what you've learned and possibly share that with somebody you care about, and that's, of course, everybody that we come in contact with. So I thank you kindly and have a great Friday. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.